Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. If you haven't been to Kokomo for a while, you might be surprised. The city's economic growth has outpaced many other communities, and Kokomo is on the move. Chrysler makes castings and transmissions at four plants around town, employing around 7,000 people. New housing is strong, the downtown looks great, and there's a special air of energy and can-do optimism. Some of that energy is emanating from a nondescript building on the north side of town. That's where we met Nan Braun, president of the board of directors of Shack Makerspace.
SHAC stands for the Spirit of Haynes and Apperson in Kokomo, which to us ties back into those early innovative roots and the creativity and productivity that was in the environment. A makerspace is a place where people with similar interests can join, can become members, and have access to a community of like-minded makers. Those makers might be in electronics, in fiber, in wood, in metal, in clay. It might be computer programming and digital. What we really like is when those things cross over and we get interesting things coming together.
So it's not necessarily about making products here as much as it is about coming up with the prototypes?
Exactly. So one of the things that we talk about is that makerspaces are good for economic development because there's a point between ideation, when you first get that glimmer of an idea of, I could do that better, or this is something brand new, and being able to prove that it works. In other words, having your first functional prototype. And there tends to be lots of failures, lots of tinkering, lots of repeats and retries. And if you had to do that with a machine shop and expensive processing, the bar to entry is very high. At a makerspace, you have access to equipment, but you also have access to other people who can teach you things and who can help you complement your skills so that you can take those ideas that you have and test it out and see whether it's viable or not. The goal is for people to come up with prototypes that they could then feed into places like our local Inventrek, which is an incubator, or other incubators around the state.
Who are the folks who come here and become members of Shack?
We have a wide variety of people. So everybody from teenagers. You have to be 18 to be a member on your own, but we have family memberships. And so as long as somebody's parents with them, teenagers come in, all the way to retired machinists, carpenters, people. We had a third generation Mason who has recently joined and is very excited. What's really interesting is, for example, we have a machinist who joined recently. But the reason he joined was at one of our programs at the library, he saw the 3D printer. And he's been making things all of his life out of metal and shaping it and bending it. And he went, that's really cool. I want to learn how to do that. So, you know, he's in his 60s, but he still wants to learn. Then he got here and started talking to some other people. And he goes, well, I still want to learn that, but I think I can teach you some other stuff, too. And so we get that really interesting trade where people are both learning and teaching at the same time.
Yeah, so there is an aspect of people helping each other around here.
Absolutely. Being able to have that interaction, and a lot of times it's spontaneous, right? We have people who come in. Sherry, who is one of the people who hangs out in our fiber area a lot, and she actually has a small business called The Jester's Yarn. And she was excited when we decided to add a fiber lab to the makerspace because she can do a little bit of drop spinning at home, and she does some knitting. And then she takes those and she's sold them at the local's farmer market and stuff like that. But she's like, you've got a loom and I can spin and I can do things on a broader scale and I can try new things, design new products that I can sell through my company. She's here working on stuff, but then other people are like, what's that you're doing, right? And then the next thing you know, people who never even thought they would be interested in fiber are learning things from them.
Are there examples of products that have been born out of makerspaces?
There's a long history of products. So makerspaces have been around and growing for about 10 years. They're really all over the globe right now. The most common one that almost everybody's familiar with is a square. That little thing that you plug into your cell phone or your tablet that you can run credit cards. You see them at art fairs and stores and all kinds of places now. That was born in a makerspace. So the idea that you can have something and it turns into a multi-billion dollar business has to be attractive to almost any community.
Your name, shack harkens back to a time in Indiana's history when the state was really the center of the growing, you know, the beginnings of the automobile industry.
Absolutely. One of the things that's interesting, and I've been doing some research on this because we've started a series for the Bicentennial on historic makers, and there were machine shops where people worked, but then after hours, the people who ran the machine shop didn't care if you tinkered around and did your own stuff. The Kingston Carburetor came out of a company where they actually encouraged their employees. So we think of Google as being kind of the first 20% and do innovation. But back in the early 1900s, there were machine shops and foundries who were encouraging their employees to do this. And that's hard to find these days in a physical space. And so the makerspace kind of fills that void.
Is there a way to connect this with sort of the entrepreneurial spirit that allows new companies to come forward? Are we in a place now where more and more people are going to be creating their own companies and products?
Oh, I think very much so. So that, if you look at the growth of small businesses, it's been booming in the last 5 to 10 years. And the easier we can make it for people to do things where they're making actual real products. I mean, there are useful apps out there, and digital creation is a great thing, right? But to then be able to make products and get back to our roots of having physical product is also a really good thing, and it's something we've been neglecting. We're hoping to lower that bar. An example, we have a teenager who's been hanging out at the space a lot. He's been really enjoying some of the things that we do, and he started making little guys out of nuts and bolts. And he was just twiddling around one day, and he happened to be at a meeting, and somebody went, "That's kind of cute. What are you doing there?" And so he was explaining it to them, and they were like, "Wow, you could like make things where you give them personalities and stuff." And he was like, "Well, that's a really good idea." And so he started branching out, and he started perfecting them, and he actually took them to a local con. We have a comic kind of con, and he took them there and sold some of them, right? And so now he's excited, and so now he's like, "Well, I could make these into keychains, and I can make them into other stuff," right? And providing the ability for somebody to get that feedback and start even at a young age, just to try it, just to launch something small. Who knows whether someday he'll go on to do something big, or you know, maybe he won't, but he's had that experience.
Nan Braun, president of the Shack Makerspace. Shack stands for the Spirit of Haynes and Apperson in Kokomo, a reference to the Haynes Apperson Company, which was the first car maker in Indiana back in the late 1800s. When we come back, tinkering with a 3D printer at Shack.
There's a place called Kokomo. That's where you wanna go to get away from it all.
Indiana Weekend, interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
We visited Kokomo recently to check out something of a new phenomenon. Around the country are springing up what are called makerspaces. This is a community-operated workspace where people with common interests, often in computers and technology, can meet, hang out, and collaborate. We visited the Shack Makerspace, Shack standing for the Spirit of Haynes and Apperson in Kokomo, two names that recall the remarkable creative energy that led to advances in car making here in the early 1900s. Mike Kessler's day job is director of IT at Main Street in Carmel, but he can often be found at the Shack Workshops in Kokomo, where he is the group's vice president. The day we visited, he was working with a 3D printer.
A lot of what happens is just interaction of various skills and art, right? Different discussions between various artists, fabricators, you know, whether it's metal or wood. It's really a place to bring all that together and have that cooperation and learning, right? And learn those, some new skills. So that for me, that's one of my desires was coming here to help found this was there's skill set that I wanted to learn. And whenever I do something, I always like to learn something new. And so I wanted to be able to have a place that I could do those skills and learn those new things and maybe decide there's something else I want to learn after that.
Tell the story of the device that we're looking at here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So the 3D printer that's sitting behind me really started from my brother's creation. He had this design on his daughter's chalkboard for about 10 years it sat in there on how to do the linear motion portion on this thing. And it sat there on his chalkboard because he didn't have the funding to build it. He had no way to really make the prototypes. You know, it's really hard to take something from paper and make it into something and does it work? and why doesn't it work and what do you need to do to change it. So at one point he was able to buy a 3D printer, and with that he started printing a lot of the prototypes that are on here and seeing how they fit and do they fit and do they not fit and is there a better way to make this and how do I build it. This is one thing to make one off. It's another to figure out how you'd manufacture it, and that's a whole different process.
Your brother used a 3D printer to make his own 3D printer.
You are correct, yeah. To make a lot of the base pieces and the kind of the intersection of how things went together. And once he had the at least the rough idea that really mapped out and in a tangible thing you could hold, he went to a machine shop and had parts machined. And then those parts are what's on this printer here is the actual machine parts. And then there are a lot of parts that are 3D printed because they don't need the strength of metal. So you can use the plastic and it's a lot cheaper.
It sounds like the experience that he went through is what you hope others would do at a place like Shack.
Yeah, it's exactly what we're trying to do, right? Give that entry point for the guy that had a design for 10 years sitting on their daughter's chalkboard to be able to make it and have that tangible thing and look at it and see is it viable. In some cases, they aren't, right? A lot of you know, success is a lot of failure, right? You got to go through hundreds of iterations, and sometimes you're done and you go, you know what, that really wasn't viable. It wasn't, you know, it's time to move on, and sometimes it really is. And so we hope to be able to provide that space, that equipment, that knowledge, right? Because, you know, if you look at this thing, there's electrical, there's mechanical, there's software. It's fairly unique when you find somebody that can do all those. And it's really nice when you can hang around with other like-minded people that can take a look at it and go, you know, if you made this one change here, you could make it easier to build. Or have you thought about doing this with that, you know, that you could print? It's just it's a neat experience, an environment to be in.
Do you get the idea maybe that we're at a time in the country now similar to when Haynes and Apperson and these people were learning? Then it was about cars. Today it's another level of technology.
Yeah, it is. I think one of the differences now is the ability to get access to all that. You know, back then you had to be fortunate enough to grow up around somebody that had that knowledge or somebody that had the money for the equipment, right? You didn't have the ability to go on YouTube, for example, and go and look at something and go, wow, that's how you make that, right? There's a lot of stuff you look at and you don't have any idea how they possibly could have made it. So I think the access to that information or Pinterest, you know, place people go and they see all these cool things. We want to be able to provide that ability to make those cool things, right? And do that next thing and figure out what you want to do with it next.
Why is Kokomo an especially good place for this?
You know, you've got the history of Kokomo, you know, they call the city of first because of all the first here. You've got the engineering base that sits here because of the automotive industries here and a lot of the other manufacturing facilities that are here. You've got a lot of retired folks with a lot of skills, like in skilled trades area, right, running machines and equipment. And it's a great place to get all those people together outside the business environment that kind of has this artificial lines of demarcation of what your jobs are, right, and let them actually work together and create new things and pass on that skill, because there's some skills around here that some people have that are just amazing. And it'd be a shame to have that lost, right? And they're looking for somebody to hand it down to.
Well, it's Kokomo, maybe. Kokomo, me, right?
Mike Kessler, Vice President of Shack Makerspace in Kokomo, a place for people interested in technology and art to hang out, trade ideas, and collaborate.
Down that living light city, sweet old Kokomo.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
What is it about Kokomo that you like, that you think that it's a welcoming place or a good place for creative types?
There is a very strong environment encouraging creation. There's a very strong arts community here, both performing, musical, all different kinds of arts. As a matter of fact, my husband and I have a kinetic art studio. So one of the businesses that we do, we made a statue that's in front of City Hall. It's a very large metal and stained glass, Kokomo opalescent glass, right? So everywhere you go, you're kind of surrounded by this mixture of industry and arts. One of the things that excites us is we start talking to some of the skilled trades people who might be second or third generation skilled trades. And they look at some sculpture and they look at metal art or wooden art and they go, well, I could do that. And I was like, well, then why don't you? Oh, I never thought about that, right? And so kind of boosting people to think creatively about the skills that they have. As a matter of fact, one of the projects we're going to do that we're planning for right now, it's going to happen this summer, is bringing local welders with artists together in a weekend build. And so we have artists who are like, oh, I have this great idea, but I don't have the skills. I have no idea how to weld. I don't know how to do this. And we have welders who are like, I know how to weld, but I've never thought about doing something creative with it. I'm used to making, you know, industrial tables or parts or whatever. And so we're going to throw them together for a weekend and make it a challenge to see who can come up with the most interesting sculptures.
Has Kokomo changed in the past 10 years, 15 years?
Absolutely it has. I think it's grown and blossomed. It really has. It's become much more welcoming. I don't know if you've been to one of the First Friday events or you've heard about those, but they're growing and booming. We're actually getting involved with First Friday. One of the things that we found is people might come in and learn new skills, but then they're like, but I'm not sure what to do with it, right? It's kind of cool, and I learned how to do this, but I'm afraid to try out my new ideas, right? There's still very much a culture of people are afraid of, if I try this and it fails, people are going to make fun of me, or they're going to laugh at me, or it's a bad thing to fail. And we try to encourage people that you're going to try something and it's going to take you 4 or 5 or 6 times before you get something you really like. And that's fine. You know, we look at geniuses like Einstein and we think, oh, well, everything they did was always great. But if you go back and really look through history, you know, they tried more, so they had more successes, but they still failed a whole lot in between, right? And so we're trying to come up with projects, and we were brainstorming on ways we could come up with projects that people could take the skills that they're learning, but have sort of a directed project to work on to get them over that hump. And so we've started what we call community projects, and we have local nonprofits who are coming to us and say, hey, we could really use some help with this project. Maybe it's making signs for the local symphony or building something else. And so we have one day a month where local nonprofits can come in and say, I need help with X, and we bring in makers who might be interested. I can't guarantee that we're going to solve their problem, but we're giving them the ability to connect. And the Greater Kokomo Economic Development Alliance came to us recently. They're the ones who help run the First Friday, and they said, we have this really cool thing that we're doing in August. It's going to be Artsapalooza, and we want to come up with some really interesting, unusual kinds of ways that are interactive art. How can you help? So we had, during our last community project day, we had a bunch of makers sitting around just brainstorming crazy ideas. And we came up with about 12 different ideas. And so now the Alliance will take those back to the local downtown businesses and say, if you're willing to sponsor this, the makerspace will work with you between now and August, do the build, teach you how to run it, and then we're going to fill downtown with crazy interactive art. And so we're hoping to have projects like that that come in every month from other groups. That gives people something to work on. And then eventually they go, oh, I did this and it was successful. And then they can go, now I want to try my own idea, and kind of give them that way to grow.
The folks who are drawn to makerspaces, I'm thinking this is a welcoming environment for people who want to try new things.
Try new things, or they have something that is a skill that they want to teach. Maybe they don't think they want to try anything new at all. What's happening is we're getting our members coming in and asking us, we'd really like to learn how to X. I really want to learn how to do leather work. Okay, we go out and we start searching in the community for people who can come in and do that workshop or teach that skill. I really want to learn to weld. Okay, well, we're putting the facility in place. The metal shop will open soon, and we've got people lined up to teach welding. And so the people who come in may not be coming in thinking that they want to do anything new, but what I found is that even people who come in thinking, I'm not interested in experimenting, get kind of drawn into it a little bit. So I don't think there's a particular type of person who is creative, and they're the only, like, you're not going to come in and go, oh, it's all these weird, crazy people, right? We had lawyers who've come in. We've had people who are vice presidents of local companies, right? I mean, you get the interesting cross-section of humanity, and that's what I love about it the most.
Talk about your background a little bit, why you were attracted to all this.
Well, I have an entrepreneurial background. Ever since I was a little kid, when I was 9, I wanted to buy better Christmas presents for everybody. And so I figured out that there was this candle, and I could decoupage it and put frosting on it, and I could, like, maybe I could sell this, right? And I actually, like, made one, went door to door and sold orders, and I was like, this is kind of cool. And so I've been a little bit entrepreneurial my whole life. I've run several businesses. It's important. And this is an amenity that the community needs, both from economic development and just as something that is useful. Some people are doing this just for basic skills, right? If you live in an apartment, a lot of our booming growth right now, we're putting in new apartment complexes. Somebody who has an apartment doesn't have room to have a shop, but they still might want to repair a table or, you know, do some electronics work or do things that they don't have the space for. And so with this amenity, it complements that apartment living as well.
Kokomo has a different physical look to it now than it did in the past. What would somebody who hadn't been to Kokomo for a while see if they were walking around downtown?
Well, it's a lot brighter than it used to be. There's been a lot of work. The master gardeners have been very active in doing plantings. There's been a lot of growth. New buildings everywhere, the new Y that's coming in. I mean, there's all kinds of growth and change that's happening. But it's also rejuvenation. So we're not losing touch with that history, which I like. You know, there are people who are redoing some of the old buildings, and so they're getting new life and new things happening in them, restaurants, record shops, all kinds of stuff. But they're not just, we didn't wipe it out and start fresh. We're keeping that tie, which is kind of where we're coming from.
People with the skills and backgrounds of you and your husband could live many different places. You could probably live wherever you want to live. Why do you choose Kokomo?
I came to Kokomo because my first husband had a job in Delphi, and I was actually working all over the globe. I was working remotely with people in South Africa and California and all over the place. My children were small, and it was a great place to raise a family. When my kids were little 20 years ago, we could go to the grocery store, and I wouldn't have to worry about whether I locked the front door or not. Times have changed everywhere. It's probably a good idea to lock your front door, no matter where you live, but there's still very much of a friendly, welcoming atmosphere here, and I like the people here. They're real.
Braun, board president of the Shack Makerspace in Kokomo, a place where inventors, builders, and creative types can share ideas and collaborate. Muncie's looking at a similar idea. Fort Wayne has the Tech Venture Makerspace. Indianapolis has Indie Hack, Club Siberia, as in cyber. Others around the state include the Terre Haute Hackers, Lafayette Tech Labs, and Blooming Labs in Bloomington. These are sometimes referred to as hackerspaces. A Huffington Post writer recently suggested that they may someday replace libraries as centers of learning and information. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and all the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, and Debbie Webb. Glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.